Today's daf is Chulin Kuf Lamed Tet. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah that Shiluach HaKein is Noheg B'Chulin Aval Lo B'Muknashim. So today we're going to figure out what is a case of birds that would be potentially Chayav and Shiluach HaKein that are Mukdash, that are now Patur because they're Mukdashim, but not Patur for some other reason. Now, what's going to be the basic problem? The basic problem is, in order to be Machdish, something has to be yours. If it's yours already, what do we learn? It's ki kare and not b'mezuman, not anything that was already designated, you know, that's yours. So it's only b'she'enu mezuman, and therefore we're going to have to try to figure out, it's going to take us a little while to figure out what exactly is the case. We're going to have to get creative. Hechidami, so third line on kuflamitet. Ilem adahave lekein b'toch b'to, if it's that you had a nest in your house, ve'akdeshe, and you said, oh, I'm going to take, you know, the birds from here, they're going to be sanctified, mimachayev, of course you're not going to be chayav in shiluach hakein anyway, because ki kare kein sipur, ki kare kan sipur, right, kan is the way it says in the pasuk, kein is the way we you know, we speak in Lashon HaMishnah, and even nowadays, ki kare kan sipur, prat lemezuman. That excludes a bird that was already designated to be, you know, that was yours. So therefore, it can't be that the ptur of hekdesh is a case where it was already in your house. Ela dechaza kein ba'alma, if he sees some random nest of birds, ve'akdeshe, and he sanctifies it, humi kadosh, that can't be sanctified. You can't just see something that doesn't belong to you and say, that's kodesh. How do we know this? Besides, it's ridiculous, you know, that you would take something that doesn't belong to you and give it to the Bein HaMikdash. It says, Ish ki akdish et beto kodesh. Okay, this is a pasuk when it talks about if you give the value of your house to the Beit HaMikdash. So what is it? Then the kohen evaluates what's the value of your house, and you have to give that. But notice what it says: ki akdish et beto amar rachmana ma beto birshuto. We darsh it from here, since your house is something that belongs to you. Af kol birshuto. In order to be makdish something, it has to be in your reshut. So now we're stuck because how could you possibly have a case that something you would think would be chayav shiluach hakein that was hekdesh that we're now going to say is patur from hekdesh because it's patur from shiluach hakein because it's hekdesh but not because of any other reason. So now we're stuck. So what do they suggest? They're still going to knock out a bunch of suggestions. Ela da'agbi'inu le'efrochim v'akdeshinu. You picked up efrochim, okay, you kind of took ownership upon them. Then, okay, while the mother wasn't there, okay, and you zoche bahem, in other words, they became yours by picking them up. Then you were makdish them because they were yours. V'hadar hadrinu, and then you returned them to the nest, and then the mother came back. So now you have a case where you might have a case where you would say, right, that this would be a case of shiluach came, but not. So then, because they're hekdesh. But then they say no, because hayafilu b'chulin nami lo machayev. You wouldn't be chayav in this case, even if they were chulin. Why? Ditana, it should say ditnan, it says in the Mishnah, natala tabanim b'chziran lakein. If you took the sons, for, right, the efrochim first, then you returned them to the nest, v'acharka chazra a'em aleihem patur mi l'shaleach. Since you already took the sons into your possession, the chicks, not really sons, you took the chicks into your possession first, then they end up in a situation where they're back in the nest and the mother's there, there's no, you're patur already from the bits of shiluach hakein because you already took them. So this case would be exactly that case, whether it's hekdesh or chulin, and again, we're stuck with what's the chidush. So now they're going to say, ela da'ag behela aim. First, you took the mother, v'akdasha, not the efrochim, not the chicks, but you took the mother, or not the eggs, but you took the mother, v'akdasha, and then, right, you kind of took her into your possession. You said, I'm going to make you for, you know, sanctify you. V'hadra me, v'hadra, and then she goes back into the cane. So now you might think you'd be chayam and shiluach hakein if she's back there with her beitzi. So what do they say? No, because me'ikara, in the beginning, you were chayev already in shiluach before you were makdish. And since, what happened here? The mother bird was with the eggs. You took the mother bird, which was, that's part of the chiyuv mitzvah ase, right? And then you sanctified it, and then it went back with the birds, and then we're going to say, in this case, you're not chayev in shiluach hakein. But they say that you were actually chayav in shiluach hakein before you were makdish. So therefore, you can't say this uproots the mitzvah, because the mitzvah existed from the beginning, And therefore, the mitzvah still applies. You can't say you're not going to be... Wait, one second. In this case... the point here is that you're chayav in the midst of shiloh hakein, and you can't say because it's hekdesh, we're pottering you. And this would be a perfect case, because why? We could still say you'd be chayav, and comes the thing of hekdesh, and says, no, but you're not. But how could hekdesh, once the mitzvah kicks in, you can't say, well, because now you sanctified it, we're going to uproot the original mitzvah. It doesn't work that way. You can't say when I sanctify something, I'm going to erase any mitzvah that was already upon it beforehand. You can't wipe out the chiyuv mitzvah that was chal from the beginning. So first you ended up with a mother and its eggs together, and the mitzvah applied. The fact that you now took this mother and sanctified it, that doesn't uproot the mitzvah. You can't do that. How do we know that you can't do that? Titania, there's a brayta that says so. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yosef Omer, it's talking about a different topic. Kisoy Adam. Kisoy Adam, you have to cover the blood. That's a mitzvah by chulin, not by sacrifices. So he says like this, Higdish chaya, if you sanctified a chaya, va'achar kach shachata, and then you slaughtered it, patur mi lechasot. Okay, so it doesn't apply to hekdesh. This isn't just for, right, this is a chaya. It's not something you're bringing as a sacrifice. It's just hekdesh in general. You're not chayav and kisur adam for hekdesh. So first you sanctified a chaya, then you slaughtered it. So since it's hekdesh, patur mi lechasot. You don't have to do kisoy adam. But shachata, if you shechted it, and you're chayav in kisoy adam, just like here, the bird was, mother bird was with her, right? It was with the eggs, and then you took it, right? It was chayav originally. So shachata ba'achar kach hikdisha, then you sanctified it, chayav lechasot, shekvar nitchayev b'kisoy kodem sheyavo lidei hekdesh. So it can't be that case. So now we're stuck. So now Rav and Shmuel are going to come and each one give an answer, and then we're going to have, why didn't Rav hold like Shmuel? Why didn't Shmuel hold like Rav? And we're going to show there was some basic difference between them. Rav Amar, b'makdish perot shovacho, you took the perot, meaning the eggs or the chicks of the nest, umardu, and then, right, they have to be chicks, and then what happened? They grew up, they flew away. Okay, so you took them, you sanctified them, but then they flew away, mardu, okay, they rebelled. They left, they flew away, and now, right, they're no longer in your possession. So at this point, right, so yeah, the assumption that he means is that you basically took them and you were makdish them for sacrifice, okay, because that's what, right, birds, you can do two things with a bird. You can sanctify it to be used on the Mizbeach, right, they're bird korban sacrifices, or you can sacrifice its value to the Beit HaMikdash, that's bedekabayit. So Rav means you sanctified it to use on the Mizbeach, and then they ran off. And now they end up in, right now, what happens? In this case, they end up having their own chicks of their own. And then you find them in a nest, right? And you're patur, because these were hekdesh. That's what he says here. The point is, these were hekdesh. How you know exactly, I don't know. But you'd be patur if you knew. Ushmuel amar, b'makdish tarnigolato lebedek habayit. It's where you took the mother bird and you sanctified it for bedek habayit, not for the mizbeach. You sanctified it for the bedek habayit, and then he doesn't say, but then the bird flew away, and then you found it over its eggs somewhere else. Okay? So now.
The difference is that in one case, the chicks that are in my house.
So that seems to be, okay, so the difference seems to be, that's one difference, which I really didn't figure out. It doesn't seem practically that that's the difference they're relating to. Right. The real difference is, did you sanctify it for the mizbeach to be sacrificed, or did you sanctify it for the bedek habayit? Okay, its value. Now we're going to see why is there a big difference. The whole question is going to be, once it flies away, is it no longer sanctified, or is it still sanctified? Now, in which case is it going to be more obvious to say, maybe it's no longer sanctified, you might think, if it's bedek habayit, because that's always less kedusha, because only its value is kadosh, but the bird itself is not really holy. It's just that you said, I want to give the value of this bird. So if you say mizbeach, then you're going to say, but if it was just bedek habayit, once it was moedet, it's no longer, right, flies away, there's no more kedusha to it. But if you say bedek habayit, even there, it's kadosh, right? Then, and obviously mizbeach, you're going to say it's still kadosh. That's again, by saying it's still kadosh, what would then we would say? You're patur from shiluach hakein. That's mukdashim, right? So the mukdashim, now it seems crazy, the mukdashim mentioned in the Mishnah would have to be some case where some bird flew away. Okay? So, It's crazy because, again, like, how do you know exactly that it was yours unless you had simanim on it and you could figure out? Okay, so bishlamash. So here, so Rav says umakdish perot of chomer do, and Shmuel says umakdish tarnagolot al lebedek habayit, and the assumption is umar da. Bishlamash Shmuel lo amar kerav. We understand Shmuel didn't say like Rav. Why? Dekamokim la bekotche bedek habayit. He wanted to say specifically bedek habayit, and that's why he didn't say like Rav. Ela Rav, my time alone amar kishmuel. But why did Rav say like Shmuel? Why didn't he include bedek habayit? Amar lecha Rav. Davka kapatra mishiluach kigon perot shavachot perot shavachot dekod she mizbeach minu dekevan dekod she kdushat aguv lo pak'a kdushatayu minayu. Okay, only shiluach like perot shavachot, which are kod she mizbeach. I guess there's some assumption, maybe I'm missing something basic here, which is that maybe a tarnagolet, I get right, a tarnagolet can't ever be sacrificed in the mizbeach. The chicks, how would they be sacrificed to them? And that's usually it's Torim or Bnei Yonah, unless, right, maybe because he uses the Lashon of a Tarnagolet. A Tarnagolet isn't something that we bring on the Mizbech. So maybe that's why he's saying it's Kodesh Bedek Habayit, whereas Ephrochim could be Ephrochim of a Yonah or a Tor or something like that, and maybe that's why. It's not necessarily mother or child, it's just Ephrochim versus Tarnagolet, okay, where it's, okay. So anyway, it says perot shavachor kodshem isbeach nidu. Dekevan dekadshe kdushat aguf lo pakak kdushatayu minayu. So it's exactly as I said before, which is Rav said specifically kodshem isbeach. Aval b'makdish turned giloto lebedek habayit. Delav kodshem isbeach. Dekdushat amin ba'almahu. Since it's only kdushat amin and not kdushat aguf. Kevan demarda pakak kdushatayu v'chayevet b'shiluach. Since it already rebelled, right, ran off, so the Kedusha leaves the bird, and it's no longer Kadosh, in which case you are going to be Chayam and Shiluach, and that's why he specifically brought the case of Kodesh Mizbeach.
So any other example where something loses its Kedusha simply by, you know, not being around?
Right, so look, the problem here is if we don't say it loses its Kedusha, then you end up
with
some...
Birds.
Right. Birds always create this big problem because they run off and you have no...
Well, that's the thing. There's things that like, could go off, but you could get them back.
Right. Birds, there's no... Right. It's hopeless. Ushmuel amar, and so now it seems pretty logical what they're saying. How could Shmuel say it still has Kedusha to it? Kol hecha di'ite, as long as it's in existence, right, or so long as it exists... It's basically considered, once you sanctify this, it's as if you gave it already to the Beit HaMikdash. You put God's name on it. It belongs to God at this point. No longer is your responsibility anymore. You know, it's almost like, right, this belongs to God. Since everything really belongs to God, and you sanctified it, so this has Kedusha. The Kedusha doesn't leave it. It's true, you have no control over it anymore, but it has Kedusha. And first of all, everything belongs to God. So the fact that you designated this for God means it's now God's. Okay? It's as if it's in the Beit HaMikdash, even though it's not physically there. Now we're going to talk about this whole concept. Okay? We're now going to see B'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing as Shmuel. B'makdish tarnagoloto lebedek habayit umarda. Amar le'ev Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. V'kevan demarda, shemarda, pak'ala kedushata. Rish Lakish says to him, what do you mean? Once it rebelled, the Kedusha left it. Amar le, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, no. Bebe gaza derachmani ita. It's as if it's in the house of God. Dechtiv l'shem ha'aretz umloa. So what do you see here? Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, their arguments follow the same arguments as Rav and Shmuel. Okay? Now we're going to focus in on Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish because we're going to see that they seem to contradict each other. So when you have the art case of Matish Tarnagolet, Lebedek Habayit Umarda, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's already considered as if it went to the house of God. And Rish Lakish says, no, once it runs away, now, they're going to say, they each contradict each other in a different area. Now, we're talking not about birds. We're talking about somebody designates money to the Beit HaMikdash, to Beit HaKabayit. Right? Can't be for a sacrifice, you don't sacrifice money. So someone says, Maneze lebeit HaKabayit. So here, right, that was Bedek Habayit, and this is Bedek Habayit. So they're the same kind of case. Someone says, this 100 Zuzim are going Lebedek Habayit, v'nignivu onevdu, and they get stolen or lost. Same kind of thing, right? It was there, and now it's gone. Just like if it gets, you know, the bird flies away. Also, this money now, you're never going to find it, right? How many times does anyone retrieve something that was stolen? Maybe lost, yes, but stolen, not so common. Rabbi Yochanan, and also it's just money. Usually if you lose money, someone picks it up and it's gone. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav Bachur Yutan Ad Sheyavo Lidei Gizbar. Unless these get to the Gizbar, right, you have to pay that money to the Gizbar, meaning, right, this is classic, if something gets lost, are you responsible or not? So in this case, what does he say? You're responsible, which means what? It basically means it's in your ownership until it actually gets into the Beit HaMikdash. That's the exact opposite about what he said about the bird. He said, once you call Echadite, as long as it's in existence, it's as if, once you say, this is Hekdesh, this bird, it's as if it's in the Rashut of God. Likewise, it should be here. And Rish Lakish, who Dafka said, it's not, right? Kevan de Marda Pak Ala Kedushate. Here, you would expect him to say, right, that you're Chayav V'Achrayut. Okay, so here, what does he say? No, Rish Lakish says, Kol Hecha Di'ite B'Bei Gaza D'Rachmana Ite D'Chtiv L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Mlo'ah. He, all of a sudden, the words of Rabbi Yochanan are now in his mouth, right? He's saying what Rabbi Yochanan said. Kasha Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, Kasha Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So now they each contradict each other. So now they're going to say, Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, Lo Kasha. Ha Mikami Deshami Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi, Ha Lebatar Deshami Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Ah, what do we say? Rish Lakish, before he heard, remember in the last sugya, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan his argument, and Rabbi Yochanan answers him back this line. So what does he do? He takes the line of Rabbi Yochanan and applies it to the next case, assuming that Rabbi Yochanan also would apply it. But he, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, misapplied Rabbi Yochanan's words. Ela to Rabbi Yochanan, to Rabbi Yochanan kasha. So how do we explain it? To Rabbi Yochanan, to Rabbi Yochanan, nami lo kasha. That's also not why, because it's different. There are two different cases. Had amar alai, had amar harezo. Oh, this brings us back to the world of nidarim nidavot, okay? Which means, if you say, I will bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, or I will bring money to the Beit HaMikdash, then if something happens to the money, you have to bring it because you said it's on me. So the second case of the maneh, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to bring it. You're chayav b'achrayut because you said harei alai. In the case of the tarnagolet, you said, I'm makdish this tarnagolet. It's harei zo. Right? And therefore, if something happens to that tarnagolet, well, you're not responsible anymore. You're makdish that tarnagolet. That tarnagolet doesn't exist anymore. Yes, and wherever that tarnagolet is, it's kadosh because you put kedusha on it. But you don't have to return, you know, you don't have to replace it. So now, what's the problem with saying this? Michlal, from what can you infer from here? Well, in the case of Harei Alai, where Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayav b'achrayut, what did Rish Lakish say? You're not chayav b'achrayut. This money you gave, it's as if wherever it is, whoever stole it, it's as if you, it's in the house of God, because, you know, you sanctify, it's got sanctity. But if you said Harei Alai, how could Rish Lakish say you're not chayav b'achrayut? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, afagav damar alai lo mechayev, v'hatnan, it says Tanya ben Shubi Tnan, it says in the Mishnah, right? Mishnah says, Masechet Kinim, ezehu neder ve'ezehu nidava, what's the difference between them? Neder, ha'omer harei alai ola, nidava, ha'omer harei zo ola. That's the difference between a neder and a nidava, right? They're both voluntary offerings. One is harei alai, nidava is harei zo. Uma be neder le nidava, and what's the difference? The Mishnah says, neder, since you said harei alai, meta o nignava o shavda, chayav b'achrayuta, you're responsible. Nidava, meta o nignava o shavda, you know, chayav b'achrayuta. So how could Rish Lakish possibly say, go against this Mishnah, and say, in a case of harei alai, you're not chayav b'achrayut? So, amar lecha Rish Lakish, hane mile kod shem is be'ach, dimichusar ha-krava. When we talk about neder and nidava, we mean, you say, harei alai, this behema to bring to the Beit HaMikdash as a sacrifice. There, you're going to be chayav v'achrayut. Why? D'mechusar hakrava. Because it's still missing. When you sanctified it, it wasn't already. You still had to, it wasn't yet given to God. You said, in order to give it to God, what do I have to do? Well, I have to sacrifice it. Sacrificing is a whole procedure. You have to go through all the procedure of sacrifice. So therefore, you can't say it's already in the house of God without having done the major acts you have to give in order to give it to God. Aval kocha bet kabayit, lav chusar hakrava, right? All you need to do is just bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, but it's already sanctified to God from the moment, right? It doesn't need a procedure for it to go to the, all it needs is to be brought there, but it doesn't need a whole procedure to go to God, like the sacrificing. And therefore, aval gav damar alai, lo mechayev. So he makes a really interesting distinction that anything you give for bedek habayit, you say harei alai, according to this, you wouldn't be chayav, because since it's not missing any steps, it's already belonging to God. So if someone steals it, it's God's. I say, wait, that sounds very nice, but it goes against an explicit Mishnah. V'hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, ha'omer shor zeh ola, okay, that's an animal, for a korban, or bayit zeh korban. Now, bayit, you can't bring a sacrifice. What does it mean, bayit zeh korban? Bayit zeh korban is a way of saying, I'm bringing it to bed a kabayit. Met hashor nafala bayit eino chaya bachriyutan. If something happens, if you say this shor, this bayit, so if the shor dies, so the house falls, you're not chaya bachriyutan because they're right. You said harei zeh, and this is no longer in existence. But if you say shor zeh alai ola, this is on me to bring as a sacrifice, or bayit zeh alai korban, it's on me to bring the house to the Beit HaMikdash, to Beit HaKabayit. Mate hashor v'nafala bayit chayav l'shalem. What do you see here? Bet a kabayit. You said a lie. You are chayav b'chariyut. That goes against what we just said about Rish Lakish. So, what do they answer? You're comparing apples and oranges. A bayit ze alai korban, and then the bayit falls, is not the same as saying the money was stolen or the tarnagolet flew away. Why? What's the difference? Until now, notice the words we've been using. Until now, we keep saying, kol hecha di'ite, as long as it's in existence, right? It flew away. It's still there. It belongs to God. But in the case, so therefore, Rish Lakish could say, even if you say arei alai, you did it. That object is flying around. It's in someone's stolen house, but it's there and it belongs to God, basically. But hecha de'meit ha'shor v'nafal, hani mele hecha de'meit ha'shor v'nafal abayit, chayav l'shalem de'litnehu. They're not in existence anymore. You can't say, well, I did my job. It disappeared, right? It's gone from the world. There is no such thing as the house anymore. Therefore, you have to replace it. Aval hecha de'itnehu, kol hecha de'ite, wherever it is, even if you don't have possession over it, bibei gaza derachmani, ita dechtiv la'shem ha'aretz m'lo'ah. Okay, so he would make that distinction. Amar Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna now says, hakol modin, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would agree, be'erchin, when it comes to erchin, now what's erchin? Erchin is when I say the value of myself or the value of a person I'm bringing to the Beit HaMikdash. So now, afa gavda amar alai, he's going to say basically the whole lashon of alai and ze is irrelevant there. Why? If I say erki alai, I'm bringing to the Beit HaMikdash, lo mechayev, you're not responsible ba'achrayut. My taima, de lo mitamale below alai. There's no other way to say it other than to use the word alai. When we say, you could say hare zo or hare alai, then we understand there's a distinction. But if it's the only word you can use to say erki alai, how else would you say it? Then alai doesn't have the same meaning. It's very interesting, right? So now they say, right, why? Because hechi lema, how else could you say it? Lema erki, if you say my value and you don't say alai, right? Well, aman, my value, you're missing the verb in that sense, right? My value what? Who's right? Who's supposed to bring it? Lema erech ploni, if you say the value of so-and-so, aman. Again, you're not saying who it's referring to, what you're doing with that erech ploni. So that's what he says. But now Rava says, what are you talking about? Matkifla Rava, of course there's some other way to say it. Lema hareni berki. Hareini berech ploni. You could say hareini berki, and then it would be obvious who you mean. You mean yourself, but you didn't use the word alai. So we do have a way you could say it without alai. It's a little difficult because hareini also seems to say hareini is not much different than alai. It means it's upon me. But okay. So you could say it some other way. Fine. If that was his only question, maybe we question. But he has another question. Va'od Tanya, it says in a braita, Rabbi Natan Omer, v'natana te'erkecha bayomo. Okay, you have to read the whole pasuk. Read the whole pasuk. It's also from Vayikra Kafzayim. We read there before. When somebody says, my house is Hekdesh. Now, you took a house that wasn't your father's house, which means what? You bought it from someone and it has to be returned in the Yovel year. And you say, I want to give this house to Beit HaKabayit, but it's not fully yours. So what does the Torah say? V'chishav lo ha-kohen et michsat erkecha. He evaluates how much it's worth ad shnat ha-yovel, until the Yovel year when it goes back to its owner. And then you have to give that value, right, on that day, Kodesh Hashem. Notice what word repeats itself, Erkecha. Why doesn't it just say, V'natan oto b'yomahu? It already said, he evaluates it, and then you should say it. And you have to give that to the Beit HaMikdash. So the fact that it says this extra Erkecha, they're going to darshan. Ma tamud lamar. L'fi shematzinu behekdeshot u'masrot shemitchalalin al ma'ot shebechulin. what do we know? That in Hekdesh, in Maaser Sheni, what can you do? Right? So you bring, right? You can bring the Maaser Sheni, you can flip it onto a coin and bring the coin to the Beit HaMikdash. And anything that's Hekdesh, you can say, oh, I made this Hekdesh. Well, instead I'm bringing money and I'm flipping it on, right? What happens in that case? So the original amount, right, becomes chulin already, and the money becomes hekdesh. Now, as soon as you do that, the money's hekdesh. Let's say nignivu osha avdu, enan chayivim b'achriyutan. You already said you're bringing the money. It's not like the old item now becomes resanctified. No, you put it onto money. That's what it is. Yachol avzekin. You might have thought also erchin will be the same. That if you already took money, then it's all in the money, and if you lose the money, you're not responsible. Tamulamar vinatana ta'erkecha. Because it says this extra erkecha, they learn from here, even though it's talking about the house and not about erchin, you know, if you say my value, the word erkecha sounds like erchin. It must, since it's extra, it must be teaching you something about erchin to teach you chulin ad sheyavo lidei gizbar. The erchin are always going to be chulin until they get to the gizbar. And that goes against what Rav Hamnuna said. Because what did Rav Hamnuna say? Hakom odim be'erachin, tamar harei alai lo mechayev. You're not chayav. And here it says, when it comes to erachin, there's a special halacha, that even though if you did your master sheni money, and your master sheni money gets stolen, fine, you're not responsible anymore. But when it comes to erachin, you're responsible until it actually gets to the Beit HaMikdash. So it's the actual opposite of what Rav Hamnuna said. Therefore, it must be that what Rav Hamnuna said is wrong, and we're going to, not that Rav Hamnuna is wrong, but that we must have misunderstood Rav Hamnuna, and it must be, this must be what Rav Hamnuna said, the exact opposite. I'm a Rav Hamnuna, ha-komodim be'erchin, da'af agav de'lo amar alai, mechayev. Even if you didn't say alai, no matter what, you're chayav, exactly as this source, right, this Braita said, that Rava brought. And why? Dichtiv, just like it says in the Braita, v'natana te'erkecha, which teaches you, chulin heim b'yadcha ad sheyavo lidei gizbar. Okay, the erkecha, you're always chayav in erchin, basically, until they actually reach the Beit HaMikdash, whereas in other items, not necessarily. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Chomer b'kisui, right, there was a whole list of things, right? They said, chomer b'kisui adam, the kisui adam is only chayan of, b'mizuman b'she'en mizuman, shiluch haken is only b'of, only b'she'en mizuman. Then we said, you know, of tameh is patur, and a bunch of different things. Now we're going to see a braita that darshans most of a lot of these things, and maybe some other things from the psukim. Tanu rabbanan, ki kare kan sipor lefanecha. Mata mulamar, what's this telling you? Why is it worded this way? Shneamar shalach to shalach deem bet abanim tikach lach yachol yachzor baharim uvaot kadeshim tzaken. You might have thought when it says shalach to shalach, this is a mitzvah asay, right? Mitzvah asay of shofar. We don't say, well, if I have a shofar, then I'll blow, but otherwise I won't bother, right? You have to do it. So here you might have thought maybe you have to go looking around for an opportunity to do this mitzvah. Tamud lamar ki kare. Right? Only b'me'ora lefanecha. Only if it happens b'me'ora lefanecha ken mikol makom. Okay, in other words, only if one happens to appear before you. Tzipur. Okay, now why does it say tzipur and not of? To teach you Torah v'lo tme'a. Okay, later the Gemara is going to say, how do we know that the word tzipur is only kosher birds? Lefanecha. Remember, it says lefanecha baderech. So lefanecha means b'rishut ha'yachid, in private property. Baderech b'rishut harabim. Okay, so it includes both if you find it in private property and if you find it in public property. Bi'ilanot minayin. How do we know if you find it in a tree? Well, tamud lamar b'chol etz. Right, it's a rhetorical question. It's not like they really thought it wasn't going to be in a tree. It was just that they're telling you, why is it say etz in the pasuk? To teach you if you find it in a tree. B'borot shechinu ma'arot minayin. How do we know if you find it in a ditch or a trench or a cave? Minayin tamud lamar, a pit or a ditch or a cave. Minayin tamud lamar o'ala aretz, because it says b'chol etz o'ala aretz. So that comes to teach you, even if you find it in the ground and not on a tree. V'chim e'achar shesofenu l'rabot kol davar lefanecha baderech lamali. In the end, and that's usually when you have it, you say it's to include this specific case and that specific case, but here we're including any case, whether you find it in a tree, you find it in the ground, you find it in Rishut or Yechid, you find it in Rishut Arvin. So what do you need lefanecha baderech? In other words, once you have aretz ilanot, we would assume anywhere you find them. So why do you need lefanecha baderech? So now they're rejecting the previous drashot. Lomar lecha ma derech she'en kano biyadecha. Just like when you go on the path, nothing is owned by you. Therefore, it has to be a case where it's not kanu biyadecha. Mikan amru, from here they learned, yonei shovach v'yonei aliyah shekanenu b'tapichinu b'birot, v'avazim v'tarnagolim shekanenu b'pardes, chayav b'shiluach. If you have these birds that run, jump from nest, pigeons that go from nest to nest, that made these nests in walls, in the, right, holes in the walls, or in the palaces, or you have avazim and tarnagolim that made their own nests in the pardes, in the orchards, you're chayav. Aval kanenu b'toch habayit, but if they do it in your house, v'chein yonei hardisaot, that we learned about already, patur mishiluach. You're going to be patur mishiluach. Okay, so that's, we learn it from derech, okay? That it's, that only things that are not owned by you. So if they're in your house and they're owned by you, then you're patur mishiluach. So now we're going to go in depth into this thing about derech. Amar mar. Ma derech she'en kanu b'yadecha, af kol she'en kanu b'yadecha. Ha lamali, why do we need this? B'chi yikare nafka. Didn't we already say ki yikare prat lemezuman? Right? That we already learned that exclusion from ki yikare. It has to be happenstance, meaning it wasn't in your house already there, which means it's the same as kanu miyadecha. So it seems unnecessary. V'od lefanecha lamali. And also, lefanecha you didn't explain. In other words, they said the derech lefanecha drasha we said earlier was unnecessary. So let's say derech is kanu miyadecha, right? The lo kanu miyadecha. But then, first of all, you didn't explain the fanecha. And secondly, the drasha you did from derech, we already knew from a different drasha. Ella, so therefore they're changing now the braita. Okay, the braita itself had trouble, right, with drashot. They rechanged. And then they say, oh, well, this braita must be a mistake here. Ella lefanecha la'atuye shayu lefanecha umardu. To teach you that if they were in front of you, and then they ran away, right, and then you find them, you happen upon them, you're going to be chayav and shiluach haken. Okay, the fact that you owned them previously doesn't exclude you then. Baderech. So what do we learn from baderech? Kedrav Yehuda Amarav, Damar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Matza ken bayam chayav b'shiluach. Shneamar komar Hashem anotem bayam derech. We have a pasuk from Yeshayahu that calls the yam derech because people, you know, went on the path in the water also, and therefore derech is to teach you even if you find it on the water. Okay, not just on land. Ela me'ata, matzah ken b'shamayim. What if you find, I don't know exactly what they're asking here, but what if you find a nest in the sky? I'm not sure where in the sky actually you're finding this nest. You be chayav, but I think they're just kind of saying anything could be called derech, and obviously it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be chayav for the mitzvah here. Dichtiv, derech nesher b'shamayim. Okay, it's a pasuk from Mishle. Okay, derech ha-nesher b'shamayim. So what do you see? Right? Sounds like derech nesher also is bashamayim, so therefore derech could be bashamayim. Since a bird flies in the sky, maybe that would be derech, and maybe you'd be chayav if you find a nest hanging in the sky, which obviously you wouldn't be. Hachanami demachay b'shiluach haken? So what did they say? Oh, you're comparing apples and oranges. The pasuk hanotem bayam darech means you made a path in the water, but derech nesher bashamayim is talking about the path of a nesher. It's not talking about a derech in general. It's got a, right, we've seen this many times where we say it has a shem levi. It's a descriptor. Derech nesher ikre. Derech stam alo ikre. Nobody calls the sky a path. Right? You would never say I'm going on a path in the sky. The nesher's path, it's the nesher's path. It's not a path. Okay? Whereas the yam is, in the yam, a path. Amrilei Paponai l'Rav Matna. Now we're going to have a guy from Paponai, which is a place in Bavel, ask Rav Matna a bunch of questions. The first one is, Matzah kein b'rosho shel adam ma'u. Okay, what if you find a nest on a person's head? It's not an eitz, it's not an aretz, right? What if it's on a person's head? It's not in the yam, right? What would you call that? It sounds like a sukkah on top of a gamal or something, right? Those weird cases. Now, what if you found a nest on a person's head? Would you be chayav? Amar v'adamal rosho. So they bring the pasuk about David and Shmuel Bet. It says, okay, so there was Adama on his head. What do you see here? If you have if you could have Adama on your head, then basically your head could be like Adama, and it said Allah Aret, so that could count, and yes, you would be Chayav. Okay, an interesting case. I'm not sure that could actually happen. I've seen birds on people's heads, but not nests on people's heads. Now he continues to ask a bunch of other strange questions. Moshe min HaTorah minayin. Where do we have a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu before he was actually born? Bishagam hu basar. This is actually a strange pasuk. It's about the Dor HaMabul, right? It says, Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi ba'adam la'olam bishagam hu basar, vayu yamav mea ve'esrim shana. Man is going to die at 120 years. We see why is this a remez to Moshe, because he died at 120 years. I thought this was an interesting reference to Moshe because it's actually a bit of a negative pasuk, right? That basically God is punishing man that he's going to die at 120 years. Supposed to people before who lived much, much longer. But I was thinking maybe it's trying to show the concept that Moshe, right, even though he was, you know, you would think if anybody in the world, Moshe was greater than man, right? And he was always considered the great, the greatest Navi that ever lived. But yet even he was limited, you know, he was limited, he sinned, and he was just, you know, he was mortal, as we say, you know, man is mortal. So maybe that's why that's a reference to Moshe, to teach us that even Moshe Rabbeinu the Great had, you know, made mistakes, etc. Haman mina Torah minai. And where do we have a remez for Haman? Hamina Eitz, right? From the Eitz Hadat Tovara. Okay, very interesting reference because what are they saying? Right? Haman is always the symbol of the ultimate evil, right? Amalek, which we always talk about is the ultimate evil. And we have a reference to it, none other than from Eitz Hadat. Aster mina Torah minayin, v'anochi haster astir. Okay, right? Haster panim, that God in the time of Esther basically closed his eyes so bad that there was hastarat panim. Mordechai mina Torah minayin, it's interesting, here they show Esther in the negative light and Mordechai in the positive light. Right? We always kind of highlight Esther was the heroine. Here they're kind of saying, you know, Esther is the reference for haster astir panai. Mordechai is the Yeshua, because it says, minayin dechtiv mar dror, it's of the besamim, umetargamina mira dachya. The targum of mar dror is mira dachya, which sounds like Mordechai, okay, which is mor dachya is zach, right? Like shemen zayit zach, pure. So basically, it's the pure mor, which is the semel for Mordechai. Okay, back to our Gemara. Ve'ezehu she'eno mizuman. Now we're back to the Yoneh Hardisaot. So Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon, they had a debate. Was it Hardisaot or was it Hadrasiot? Chad tane Hadrisaot, v'chad tane Hardisaot. Okay, it's a matter of whether you switch the resh and the dalet. Man detane Hardisiot al shem Hordus. Right, it was Hordus, even though we said that maybe it was also from Rhodes, but they associate it with Hord, with Herod. Uman detane hadrisaot al shem mekoman. It's based on where they, it was the name of a place. Okay, what does that have to do with Hordus? Because Hordus apparently had all these birds that he took, right, that he kind of trained, they were his, and we're going to see, he trained them so well that we'll see exactly what these birds did. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Lididi chazyan, I saw these birds, even though he wasn't alive in the time of Herod, so it's a little, right, but okay, maybe I heard about them. V'kaiman shitzar dare bepate mila, they were lined up 16, I think it's 16 lines, okay, they were in 16 lines over the course of a space of a meal, which is about a kilometer, give or take. V'havakare kire kire, and they were all here, he trained them all to say, Adoni Adoni, right? In other words, Herod wanted kavod. So he had all these birds that were basically chanting kavod to him. Havachad minayu delo havakare kire kire. There was one who wasn't saying anything. Amr le chaverta, so the one next to it says, Suma, are you blind? Amri kire kire, we're all saying kire kire, Adon Adon. Amra, so she said back to her friend, Suma, you're blind. You didn't, right? You're missing the point. What did that this bird say? Amre kire bire. Okay, I'm saying Adon Eved, because that was the whole thing. Remember, Herod came from sons of Avadin, right? He was a son to an Eved, and she was revealing his true, right? That he wasn't really a Jew, and that he was really from Avadim, and he shouldn't be the king. And start saying, you're missing the point. I'm saying kire bire. You guys are all wrong. Well, this poor bird, what happened to the bird, obviously, in the time of Herod, this happened to anyone who went against him. Atyua v'shachtua. They took the bird out of the line and they slaughtered the bird. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi says, about this story that Rav Kahana said, he says, Amar li Rabbi Hanina told me, milin. This is stam, milin. One word, milin. He said, this is stam bubamai, right? This didn't actually happen. So milin salkadatach, what? You think Rav Kahana was just making this up? Ela ema bim milin. What he meant was, it happened with milin, which they explained as kshafim. In other words, how are the birds doing this? It wasn't like Herod was so talented. It was that someone used witchcraft to kind of train the bird to, this whole story happened that the bird who said Eved was kind of taken by a witch who trained the bird with using witchcraft to say what the bird said. Okay. what you do with that story. I don't know exactly. I think it's just sort of reflective of what was going on in the time of Herod and the witchcraft was going on, maybe, and that, you know, he was obviously struggling with his roots of being from an Eved and now being a king, and the people were going to, you know, I think his whole downfall, right? He got killed in the beginning of Bava Batra. That's the whole story. And I think in the end, he's killed because he's an Eved. I forget the details of the historical part. But anyway, where the historical part is told by the Gemara. Okay. Of Tamei Patur Milashalech. So now we're up to the Of Tamei. So where did we get that from? Inani Mile Amar B'Yitzchak Damar Krak Ki Ikare Kan Sipur Lefanecha. Okay. Of Mashmalam Ben Tahor Ben Tamei. When you say Of, it could mean kosher or not kosher. Right? We know that. We talked about all the Ofot and the Ofot Tameim, the Ofot Torim. But Sipur Tahor Eshkechan De'ikre. Sipur Tamei Lo Eshkechan De'ikre. Sorry, I read it wrong. Sipur Tahor Eshkechan De'ikre Sipur. We find kosher birds called Sipurim. Tamei, but we don't find a Tamei Lo Eshkechan De'ikre Sipur. You wouldn't call a Tamei bird a Sipur. Okay, I didn't know this till now, but that's what they say. Tashma, now they're going to break all sorts of psukim where it says tzipor, and they're going to assume, don't you think this means to make birds? Why? Tashma, tavnit kol tzipor kanaf. This is, you can't make a pesel like in the image of a bird, of a behema, or a bird. Now, tzipor kanaf, right? A bird with wings. So wouldn't you think, my love tzipor, bein tahor bein tamei, and then what's kanaf? Kanaf would be chagavim. Okay, it means you can't make it an image of any kind of bird, whether it's tahor or tameh, obviously. And kanaf would be including chagavim, grasshoppers. So they say, lo, you could say very simply, tzipor tahor, and kanaf is tameh v'chagavim. Okay, if you're going to say one includes two types, you could just very simply say that tzipor includes the kosher birds, and the kanaf means non-kosher birds and chagavim. Tashma, now why you would do that, right? It's a little strange to put the break there and not there, but okay. Tashma, now they're going to do basically the same thing and answer the same way. Hachaya v'chol behema, remes v'tzipor kanaf. This is from Tehilim. So now, right, we say this every day in Psukei DeZimra. So now, what do you see here? Remes v'tzipor kanaf. My lav tzipor, bein tahor bein tameh, and kanaf is chagavim. So the answer, no, the same way we just answered, no, tzipor is tahor, and kanaf is tameh v'chagavim. Tashma, how about this one? Kol tzipor, kol kanaf, my lav kidimakshina. And isn't this not, again, the same way we shouldn't tzipor include all the tziporim, tmeim, torim? Kanaf is kanaf chagavim. Lo kidimashanina. Now they're just doing it very simply. No, just answer as we did before. It's like saying ditto. Okay? Same thing here. You have to wonder why they keep bringing all these sources if they're answering them the same way. I don't have a good answer. Tashma, from Yechezkel v'ata ben adam, emor letzipor kol kanaf. My lav kedakshina, and here again we have tzipor and kol kanaf. Wouldn't we say the same thing? Tzipor is tamei tahor, and they say lo kedeshanina. Okay, no, in fact, as we answered it, tzipor could be tzipor tahor, and kanaf would include everything else. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We're going to continue a little bit more on this tomorrow.